heading before us tonight is a day to be remembered, a day that won't be forgotten. A day to be remembered, and a day that won't be forgotten. It's a day to be remembered by the Christian, and it's a day that won't be forgotten by the non-Christian. So we're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what's going to happen after he comes again, and it's going to be, as we're told in Matthew chapter 25, there's going to be that separation, and there's going to be the judgment, and there's going to be the condemnation of those who are outside Christ, and those who are in Christ will be ushered into the kingdom. So it's a day to be remembered by us, we who are Christians. But it's a day that won't be forgotten by those who are sent to hell. And Job, as we read this morning, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Well, we looked at verse 26. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," we thought about death, and we thought about what death was. It's a separation of the soul and the body. And then we looked at verse 27, "whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold," and we spoke about the resurrection. And what was the resurrection? It was the soul coming back into the body. And we read these two passages from the Old Testament of Rachel. When she died, the soul went away. And when Elisha prayed for the little lad, he prayed that his soul would come back because he was already dead. So that shows us that the soul and the body have to be together for there to be life. And as I read Job 19, 1 Timothy 1:12, is almost exactly the same. Paul has exactly the same idea. As Job starts, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth," Paul says, "For I know that I have, whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So the two of them are almost identical. The two men are thinking alike. And it's good when we read the scriptures and we can realise and believe the same things that these two men are believing. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 18. It's interesting when you read Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they only have 8 verses. There's 5 verses in 1 Thessalonians 1, and then there's 3 verses in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians. And it's interesting that nearly at the end of every chapter, Paul mentions the second coming. When you go home, just read the two. It won't take you 5 minutes to read the two chapters, the two books. But in every one, Paul talks about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a known fact. Paul had it in his mind and in his heart that the Christ was coming back again. So it's a day to be remembered by us, by those who are in Christ, but it's a day that won't be forgotten. And if you want a sort of an illustration of it to be remembered and not forgotten, we can turn to Luke chapter 15, where we see Lazarus and the rich man. One will remember the day that he died because he was taken into the bosom of Abraham, into heaven. But the rich man, he died, and that's a day that will not be forgotten. The day that he left this earth from living luxuriously, living in his big home, and then he ended up in hell. So it's a day that we will remember, and a day that will not be forgotten. This day, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, right at the very end, he says, I have committed unto him against that day. And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Every time I read this, I find this a comfort. This is God speaking to us. And as the days get worse and worse and get more evil, surely something like this should bring us comfort. And I love to read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, because as I said, at the end of every chapter, near enough, Paul talks about the second coming. He's coming back again. That's why he says to the people here, don't worry about those who have gone before. They're with the Lord. He tells us that. He says that when they come, they'll come with him. That day, what is that day? Well, it's not the day of his death. It's not the day of his resurrection. It's not the day of his ascension. But it's what Titus says. Paul writing to Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. I find it amazing some of the descriptions that the writers in the epistles give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the greatest, that great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's talking about God and he's talking about man. For the word Jesus is mentioned. He's not talking about the man, Christ Jesus, but he's talking about the Saviour, the great God. He's talking about the second person in the Trinity. And this is who's coming back. We read in the Old Testament that God sent angels. In the New Testament, God sent angels to do a work. But for the final wrapping up of the work of salvation, no angel is good enough to be given that job. It's the one who wrought salvation who will eventually come and work it all out. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to be heard. Jesus is going to be heard. It tells us there, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and he will be heard. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 reminds us that he will be heard. Jesus himself says that when he comes and when he shouts, even those in the grave, those who are dead, shall rise. Everyone shall rise. John chapter 5 and verse 28 and verse 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It tells us there that everyone will be resurrected. There'll be no one left in their grave. There'll be no one left in the sea. There'll be no one left in the wilderness. Just as God raised that great army in the wilderness from these dry bones, he is able to do it again. So when he comes to shout, everyone's going to hear him. Secondly, for the Lord himself shall descend. That means he's going to be seen. Everyone's going to be to see him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's going to be heard. Everyone shall hear him. There's no deaf ears when that call comes out. There is no blind eyes when he appears. Even in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10, it talks about them that they'll see me, those who have pierced my hands. He's going to be heard. And he's going to be seen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's going to be obeyed. Everyone will obey that cry. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31 forward is the great separation, when he shall separate the sheep and the goat. He'll judge everyone. And it tells us there, some will be raised to shame and some will be raised to glory. He'll be obeyed. Who obeys God today? Why isn't the churches full? Because they don't obey God. They have no concern for God's word, that God is the creator of all beings. But it tells us here that when he comes and when he shouts, he'll be heard, he'll be seen, and he'll be obeyed. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and following. It tells us there that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no secret advent. Although this is taught in some churches that there's going to be a secret one. Oh no, my friends, it tells us in the scriptures that Jesus Christ is coming and everyone shall see him and everyone will hear him. This must be a comfort to your heart, surely. He's going to be obeyed. Can you imagine that we're all going to be there? I take this to be before the judgment, before the separation in Philippians chapter 2. I take that to be when he gathers them all together, when the graves open and they're all taken up, and those who are left here shall be changed in an instant and be taken up. I take it's going to be the big crowd. And the Father's going to speak, and every knee shall bow. All your enemies will, if it's before the separation, then you'll have enemies next to you, because we'll all be taken up, and they'll bow, and they'll confess the same as you do. You'll do it with joy, they'll do it with fear. But it's going to happen. These are facts, and this is what comforts the souls of Christians today. That he's coming again, he's going to be heard, he's going to be seen, and he's going to be obeyed. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, it tells us there he's going to be welcomed by many. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Or verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white as in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And if we get that very same verse in chapter 21 of Revelations. He's going to be welcomed by many. And we need to ask ourselves, will we be amongst that many? Will we be amongst those who will bow the knee gladly? Verse 4 of chapter 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Yes, he's coming with a shout, and he's going to be heard. He's coming personally, and he's going to be seen. He's going to be obeyed. He's going to be welcomed by many. But he's going to be feared by many. In the chapter before chapter 7 is chapter 6, and it tells us there about the many who will be feared. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This is what's going to happen on that great day. This is not just a storybook to thrill us. It's God's word to comfort us. And it notice there in both chapters, chapter 6 and chapter 7, it spoke about the Lamb. Well, I would suggest that when Christ in his second appearance, when he comes again, the appearance of him will be to the Christian as the lion of the tribe of Judah, as the king. But to the unsaved, he will appear as the lamb that has been slain. And it was them that slayed him, as it were. So he's going to appear, and he'll appear in such a way that will bring fear or will bring joy. And which one of us is it going to be for us? Well, I take it we're here tonight, and I would say it's going to be for joy. Job says, I know. And Paul says, I know. The Lord himself will appear. The Lord himself, who was manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us there it's a great mystery that God manifesting in the flesh. His own appearance. The Lord himself will appear. He who came to do his Father's will, John chapter 4 verse 34, said, My meat is to do the will of my Father. The Lord himself, who came to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord himself will appear to his people, as I just said, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he'll appear as himself to his enemies as the lamb that has been slain. Who's going to be afraid of a lamb? But they will. They'll see him as the lamb that was slain. But we'll see him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the great and glorious God and King. And on that day, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. On that day there'll be three shouts. There'll be a shout of the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be a shout of his people. And there'll be a shout of his enemies. And the question I ask myself is this. Whose shout will be loudest and shortest? And whose shout will be loudest and longest? Well, I would suggest that the one who shouts loudest and shortest is the Lord Jesus Christ, because there'll be one shout. But it's debatable who of the other two who will shout loudest and longest. Because when we read in Revelation chapter 5, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as is in the sea, and all of them I heard saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. So the one I think that will shout loudest but shortest is the Lord, because there'll just be that one shout. But then there's the unsaved and there's the saved who will be shouting. And I don't know which one will be shouting the longest. But I reckon it will be the saved, because it tells us here, forever and forever. And it's all because the Lord Jesus Christ has coming back again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. It's a visible sighting. And he's going to be among people. He's going to be seen. He's going to be worshipped the way that he's entitled to be worshipped. However, he's not worshipped now. We don't worship with the Spirit and truth. But one day we will. For I know that my Redeemer lives. My dear friends, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And Paul tells us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 16 and 17 and 18, these most marvelous words. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why Paul goes on before here and says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those that have gone before. He explains what's going to happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We will not precede them. And we will not stop them. They will be there first. We know that's all going to happen in a second, as it were. But there's going to be, I don't know how to explain it. If the dead in Christ rise first, then we're still here if we're alive. And we're going to see this. And then we'll be changed in an instant. Just as Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 3, that he'll change this vile body to be like unto his body. And it tells us there, this is the comfort. This is one of the comforts. That we will be forever with the Lord. There's times today when we are parted from loved ones. We hope to see some of our loved ones later on in the year when we go up to Shetland or Scotland. And if you go on holiday, you'll be seeing your loved ones. But you have to part. But the time is coming here, as Paul talks about, that will never happen. To be with the Lord forever. To be amongst of people who love the Lord forever. Oh, what a comfort it must be to the heart of those who are being persecuted. How they cope, I don't know. But the God of all comfort is able to comfort them. He who experienced excruciating pain is able to comfort them. He's able to encourage them. And let's remember that many of the people who are born again in these other countries don't have the Bible. They may not even have this chapter. They may never even have read this. But God is able. We read that in a couple of times in Hebrews, that God is able. God is able to keep me from falling. God is able to deliver me on that last day. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what I've sought to try to do today. I've been comforted yesterday and this afternoon, reading this again and again and again. And I've sought to bring something that would comfort us and to encourage us. I hope, I really do hope, that we're going to go home tonight encouraged. We know these things, but it's good to be reminded. And I hope that we all go home tonight really encouraged. Yes, the Lord is coming back again. Don't look down. And don't look ahead. Look up. For the Lord's going to make that glorious appearance. What we've got to do in the meantime is we've got to be aware of how we use our tongue, because what comes out of the mouth defiles. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. And even as Christians, we've got to watch our tongue. James tells us that the tongue's like a little fire. And remember, when words go out, they can't be retracted. The new word in the world today is, I'm sorry. Everyone on the news says, I'm sorry. And they think it makes it all right. But it doesn't. When words come out and they can't be retracted. So even as Christians, we need to control how we speak and what we say. Let me finish by reading from Revelations chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. I believe the 1,000 years is the gospel period. The gospel period. And then John goes over to chapter 21 and talks about a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away and there is no more sea. You see, the sea separates. The sea is dangerous. The sea kills. But where we are going, John talks here, there's no sea. In other words, there's nothing that will harm. There's nothing that can harm us in heaven. It's a glorious place to go. It's a glorious place to be. Let me just read two verses from chapter 19 of Revelations. Wonderful book. Figurative, yes. But there's some wonderful things here to learn. And listen to what it says here in chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. It talks about that in Revelation chapter 7, 13 to 17. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's talking about Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, where it tells us about the bride and the bridegroom. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And it talks about, or the Lord talks about that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 2 and following. We're going to a wedding. We've been invited to a wedding. Have you accepted? I have. And I can't wait to that day when I shall see my Saviour, the one whom my soul loves. And I can't wait to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Job says, I know. Paul says, I know. And I say, I know. What about you? Do you know? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour? Do you know that that precious blood has cleansed you from all sin? Do you know that on that great day, Matthew chapter 25, the Lord will say to us, there is no condemnation for you, for you are in Christ Jesus, my Son. What did the Lord look for in Egypt? He looked for the blood. And what did the Lord look for in the tabernacle? And what did he look for in the temple? He looked for the blood. And what will he look on us? He'll look for the blood that has washed us clean from all our sin. Oh, my dear friends, tonight, go home rejoicing. God not only loves you, but he gave his only begotten Son to save you. Let's pray.